Ron and Anian.
My air conditioning doesn't work. It's intermittent. It's some days it works, some days it doesn't, and nobody seems to be able to figure it out because they never see the problem when it happens. Huh.
The car doctor.
And he goes to me, what does that yellow light mean? And I explained to him, I said, you know, Tony, that means that you've turned on the AC compressor. He goes, oh, that's what the yellow light's for. It was like Jesus had come down and he was walking on water.
What does a yellow light mean? Slow down. Okay. What?
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
You want to take a test with me? I was going to do this the other way. I was going to talk about the 2016 Chevy Traverse to kick off this hour, but I want you to take a test with me. I took my ASEs this morning, and I was sitting at the chiropractor. I did it at the chiropractor, actually, because they give you the option now. Hello and welcome, by the way. Thanks for being here. I've got a lot to do today, it seems. And I have to, you know, you're taking your ASEs online now because of the pandemic, and they want you to, they give you 8 questions a month, and you take them, and if you make a mistake, they send you another one. And it's kind of neat. It's interesting, right? I'm almost starting to like it better than going to sit in the office and take all 300 questions at a clip, because I always certify all 8 areas at the same time, because I just don't have the time, frankly, and I like to get it over with. So this is a little bit more relaxed, if you can imagine me being relaxed. So it's a brake question, right? How hard could a brake question be, right? Everybody out there has fixed brakes, I'm sure, or maybe or thought about it. Everybody out there has used brakes, I'm sure, or wish they could use brakes, or maybe they have good brakes, but them's the brakes. So here's the question. You ready? This is from ASA. A vehicle equipped with a forward automatic braking system will not auto-brake when approaching an obstruction at parking lot speeds. A service ADAS, Advanced Driver Assist System, message, is present on the driver information display, and a stored sensor ring time fault is stored in the parking assist control module. The vehicle operates normally otherwise, and service history indicates the vehicle has had collision repairs to the front end. Which of these could be the cause? So you got this in your head? Okay. It's just brakes, folks, right? How hard could this be? It's just a brake system. Could a misadjusted brake pedal position sensor cause it? Could an internal leak in the brake master cylinder cause it? Could excessive paint thickness on the front sensors cause it? Or could a stuck open check valve in the brake booster be the root cause? Anybody want to take a shot at this? Tom, you're not eligible. You already played the game. It's paint thickness. All right? The right answer is paint thickness. And the explanation is excessive paint thickness on the front ultrasonic sensors can affect the sensor's ability to detect and report correct distances between the vehicle and other objects. Ultrasonic sensors emit sound waves. This is an automobile we're talking about, not the shuttle. And then detect these waves if they are reflecting back from the objects. The time between sending and receiving the waves is used to calculate distance. Excessive paint thickness alters the emitted and received sound waves, resulting in incorrect measured distance. This condition can cause the ring time diagnostic trouble code as indicated. What do you think of that? So is the body shop going to have to start to measure how much paint they put on? Are they going to have to be more precise? Are we going to have to measure it? Or are we going to have to use ultrasound to measure the depth of the paint being applied to the bumper? Think about what this does to the repair process. And then more importantly, what happens later on? You know, the car is 5 or 6 years old or 7 years old, and it has a problem in the automatic parking system. Are you going to fix it? Are you going to drive around in a car that's got warning lights going off and you're just going to train yourself to ignore them? And what does that do to the retail or resale value of the vehicle when you go to sell it? I gave my chiropractor this test this morning, by the way. He failed. He's an excellent chiropractor. His son, Troy, was there, and David was there, Dr. Dave and Dr. Troy. And I've decided that they're excellent chiropractors. I really enjoy going to them. But boy, when it comes to cars, they know where the door handle is and they know how to put gas in it. And beyond that, they're just, and they were stunned. They were absolutely stunned. They said, how could paint thickness affect a driver warning system and a parking sensor? And when I explained that it's the thickness of the paint on the bumper, a 1 millimeter difference, 1 millimeter and less, can affect any one of these self-driving, self-parking, advanced driver assist systems, and they've all got to be calibrated anytime they're touched. It makes you wonder, right? So the car is going to come in somewhere, somehow, some way, it's happened where a car has gone into a repair shop, a newer vehicle, for a headlight. And the headlight has been replaced, but they had to remove the bumper to get to the headlight assemblies, the headlamp assemblies, I should say. And as a result, that ADAS, that advanced driver assist system, or that parking system, has had to be recalibrated. And that simple $20 headlight bulb has been $500. I know it's happened. I'd love to hear the story if anybody's got one. But I know it's happened. And again, we come back to, you know, it was meant to replace the horse. If you can remember back that far, Tom can remember back that far. He was around back at the turn of the last century. You know, it was meant to replace the horse. The car was not meant to bankrupt you. It was not meant to launch missiles, take you to the moon, or any of the multitude of things that it seems like they can do today. So that's the ASCs. Maybe next hour we'll do another one. Next hour, the beginning of next hour, I want to talk about the 2016 Chevy Traverse and the power steering repair where I have to replace the engine wiring harness. I want to give you the update on how that's going. But right now, let's kick the garage doors open. Let's go over to Jeff in San Diego, 05 Mini Cooper, and some questions about a blown head gasket issue. Jeff, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Ron. Thanks for taking my call. And,
you're welcome.
Greetings from San Jose.
Thank you.
I acquired this 2005 Mini Cooper from my neighbor. It's candy apple red, racing stripes, rally wheels, little supercharged 6-speed, really cool little car. And he was the original owner, and it showed up on a tow truck last month. And to the neighbor's house, asked him what was going on. He said, "I think I blew the engine." I said, "Do you want it? I just ordered a new Tesla." And I thought about it for a minute. I'm a bit, yeah, San Jose. What are you going to do, right? But
somebody's got money.
About it for a minute. I'm a bit. Yeah. I'm a busy guy. I drive a new car, and I thought about it. But I could use a distraction right now, you know. So I said, yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it on. So in a matter of minutes, the tow truck was putting it in my driveway, and we were swapping keys and shaking hands and all that. So anyway, I diagnosed the car. Fairly quickly, I came up with it had a blown head gasket.
Okay.
Chocolate milk in the scanna codes. They're all related to high temperature, low coolant. That type of thing, and I pull the valve cover, and it's just chocolate milk. And so I'm thinking, worst case, I go order a used engine, you know, and just do a clean swap and get on down the road with it. And by the way, I'm going to be giving this to I'm going to be surprised my daughter. I hope she's not listening. I'm going to hand it over to her when I'm done rebuilding it. But so I was thinking I'd order the engine, and then so I pull the engine and trans out. Put it on a pallet in my garage, and everything's just brand new. I mean, the ball joints, the tie rods, the starter, like it was really well taken care of. And I pulled the head the other night while I'm sourcing an engine. I just thought, what the heck, I'll take a look. And the pistons and cylinders, everything was immaculate, but the head has a lot of it had the blown head gasket and a lot of pitting, a lot of heavy, like corrosive looking pitting under the head. And I thought, well, this engine's in really good shape though, so I don't think the head could be machined with all that pitting, because it's right around the water jackets where the gasket meets it.
Is there a lot of carbon buildup, Jeff?
There is not a lot of carbon buildup. No, the pistons, what was on the pistons, I could wipe off with my fingers.
Right. How many
cylinders aren't scratched?
How many miles are on the car? How many miles on the car overall?
111,000.
Okay. Have you priced a replacement engine?
A used engine, anywhere from $800 to $1,200. Really cheap. And like I said, I've got no money into this car. I'm doing the labor myself.
Right.
And I'm thinking, they're all high mileage engines. I can't find anything, you know, maybe 80,000, around the same boat, basically. So So I was thinking I might have just as good of an engine right here in my garage. Now, I was thinking I could either do that or I could go to O'Reilly's and get a remanufactured cylinder head for $600. New valves, new seals. It comes with a cam and everything. Buy a gasket kit and put it back together. Throw a clutch in it, obviously.
If the engine is out, the engine's out, correct?
Correct.
You got a local machine shop?
Not one I've ever used before, but yeah, there's. I think people still do that.
You've got one local. Let me rephrase the question. Do you have one local that you think you can get a recommendation for as to whether good or bad?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
Engine's out. The car's 16 years old. Your daughter's going to drive it. And you know what's going to happen. You want to avoid the dad, I love my car, but it just started to overheat comment. And now you got to take my car away from me. And then you'll never have time to do this. So I think you have to do this to the max in the sense that, like you said, you have no money in it. It looks and seems sure. like a good car. You really don't know the service history. I mean, judging the engine by how you take it apart, sure, we all do that. But, you know, what has the oil change interval really been? And, you know, what's he really done to it? And when the head gasket failed, did it run hot or did the head gasket just fail on its own accord? Or was it from lack of coolant maintenance or was it some other extenuating circumstance? I think the safe bet to avoid doing this twice, because now you have the time and I guarantee you when it fails, if it fails, you won't have the time. Let's put a fresh motor in it. Let's find out what a fresh motor is going to cost. If a fresh engine's $10,000, then maybe not. But if you can do this and work under a budget, I don't know. I think you got to put $5,000 in the car. I think that's the number, because you don't get anything.
That's kind of the number.
That's kind of the number I had in mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would have no problem doing that.
Yeah. You don't get anything for $5,000 today. I mean, good Lord, we're restoring an F1. Not really restoring. We're doing some front end, some brake, a radiator, coolant lines, power steering lines, spark plugs, and a whole slew of other things to an 07 F-150 in the shop this week and next week. And we're going to have about $9,000 in it, no lie. And, you know, wow. There's a truck that's just getting a pile of maintenance that it hasn't had anything done to it in 15 years or so. So,
sure.
You know. Yeah, I think $5,000's the number. I really do, Jeff. I think you've got to go out and see if you can find an engine for it that way. Maybe you go down to the O'Reilly Auto Parts that you have in your neighborhood, see if they've got a complete reman engine assembly from it, and see what kind of warranty they'll give. And at least then you've got the power of O'Reilly Auto Parts backing it up. And if not there, if they can't get something for it, then head on over to your local machine shop and maybe get a recommendation from the guys at the O'Reilly Auto Parts. But I think doing the complete engine, my point is, and then look at the radiator, look at the hoses, belts, all the small parts, you know, the normal things that you would want to change and get those done as well. And then at least when you hand it to your daughter, boom, done. Here it is, sweetheart. Have a great time. Dad took care of you, and it's a good first car experience. All dads should be as lucky as you to have such fortune as to find a car like that, and they should have the ability and the time to do it. I think doing that and giving that to a daughter is a labor of love, but it says a lot to them as time goes by. I appreciate the call, Jeff. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this.
Keep Ron's number handy, 855-560-9900, for when you really need advice on your car. Here's Ron.
You know, just as an aside before we take the next call, you know, you're stuck at home, you're looking for something to do. Well, here's something exciting. This is what the Car Doctor does. I go out and I look at websites. Go out to look at autobatteries.com, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is because we're seeing a tick in the shop, a tick up, a spike, if you will. And I'm seeing it in the trends that there's more and more talk that as a result of the pandemic and cars sitting, and we've talked about this, that battery replacement is on the rise. So if you've got to make an informed decision as far as, you know, buying a battery or what battery to replace with, or maybe you want to do a preemptive battery replacement, something that happens before you get stuck somewhere, because it's going to happen sooner or later. We are going to get out. We're starting to see, you know, we're getting out now slowly but surely. Things are on the rise in that sense. You know, get out to autobatteries.com, take a look at the information put up there, provided by the good folks at Clarios and Optima, and all the batteries, you know, available through that website, or the information available through that website. Autobatteries.com just provides a slew of information that it's interesting reading. It really is. All kidding around aside, a recent article I've got in front of me from our research department, Kathy. She's the entire research department. She can at least give herself the day off every now and then. This comes to us out of Consumer Reports. Is there's talk about pedestrians having it safer at night, which is true. They talk about pedestrian detection systems offering greater potential for preventing collisions with people or reducing severity. Even so, more than 6,000 pedestrians were killed by vehicles in 2019, and 76,000 of them injured by vehicles. So it's on the rise. You can see the need for these systems. You just question, you know, at what expense, what will it take to repair? And, you know, in terms of as they grow older, and I mean, you can't put a price on it, but just know that, you know, it's on the rise, as well as the price of a new car. The article also points out that the average price of a new car October of last year was $38,521. So, you know, I guess all of our thinking about 20 grand, that just don't cut it. Let's get on over to Jeff in Fort Lauderdale, 04 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and some questions about brakes. Jeff, welcome aboard, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Ron. Well, I had a previous good relationship with a trusted mechanic, and he expanded and got himself some more technicians, or they were showing up and doing more and more of the work. He's got a busy shop, and I was previously happy with the work he did, so I saved up my big long list, had all my parts, all new parts for front, for a four-wheel brake job, and right drive shaft, half shaft for the front, Dana 35 axle. Had a big list. Just the labor was $2,200, and all my parts and everything. It was a good 2 days of work.
Okay.
And regarding the brake job, I've got these Aki Bono upgraded calipers for the Grand Cherokees, and I've never had any warping problems since I bought the vehicle new. After about the first 20,000 miles, I had the warped rotors, and then ever since then, I put Brembo rotors on there, and I've still got them to this day. And they sent them out and had them turned, did the big brake job. And it was a long day, like I said. They did a lot of work on it, and they were actually very busy. So test driving my vehicle at the end of the day, I turned in the rental car, and I got jumped back over there and put it in reverse and went slow and tapped the brakes to shift into drive, and I heard a clunk. And then I went forward again at about a mile per hour and tapped the brakes slightly, and I heard a clunk. So I said, hey, Big Cheese, you know, the owner, the owner of the shop, I said, maybe you should take a listen to this. What is this, you know? So he gets in there, jumps in, and forward, backward, hear the clunk. And he says, that could just be the calipers moving, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeff. Tell you what, sit tight. Let me pull over, take the pause. You can finish your story. I don't want to cut you short. I'm Ron Anning, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Anning, the Car Doctor here. A little delay in the video. Let's get back to Jeff. You're there in Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, sir. Regarding the 3,000 miles I have on my brake job that was done on the Grand Cherokee last September, luckily it didn't stick me during the winter when I couldn't have done much about it or even getting under there. But so noticed a right pulling caliper on a 20-mile drive. And thought it was crosswinds, and I'm like, that's a hell of a crosswind.
That's a heck of a crosswind, is right.
Yeah, heck of a crosswind, of course, yeah. And pulling to the right, and then I started slowing down in town and smelled a little bit of what smells like the electrical brake lining burning and all that. And finally, with the wind and everything taking the smell away from me and not really seeing smoke or anything, I got around there and got pretty hot. And got in there with a hammer, kind of tapped it loose. When the calipers were new, all the pads were new, Aki Bono, and the mechanics, I had given them hope box of parts in the Ziploc bag or the clear bag full of the stainless steel anti-rattle springs that go on the top and the bottom part of the pads, four per caliper.
I get a feeling you're trying to tell me they did a bad brake job.
They never used the anti-spring calipers, and when the calipers stuck, that's when I really got in there, took the wheel off and looked at it. I'm like, there's something missing. Something doesn't look right here.
Right.
All those metal stainless steel spring clips were never used.
Did you go back and talk to them?
Not yet, no, because they're a little bit out of my area. You know, I went out of my way to go back to the guy, you know, but he was doing his work. He was doing the work personally back in the day when I was impressed, but now he had a technician or whatever. But isn't that something just so basic, you know, my disappointment and everything, to see that I'm going to buy another caliper, or I'll probably just put the spring clips on the other side too and redo that.
Well,
but
you know,
is that something that has ever popped up, you know, when the parts are in the box, you know, in front of them?
You know, you only get one chance to annoy a customer. Okay. Huh. As my late father would always say when he had the rug business in New Jersey. And I never forgot that from being a little kid. I think you are obligated to go back and talk to this mechanic, this owner, as a shop owner. I'd want to know about it. You know, listen, I'm not making excuses for him. I'm not making excuses for anybody. We're all human. Everybody has an off day. You know, it's does he do the right thing to make it right? Okay. You know, and that's really the question. And then sometimes doing the right thing to make it right, it doesn't sit right with the customer, and they still never see him, but at least they get the opportunity to do the right thing. You know, I'll never forget, I think on Danny's second week, and Danny's with me 12 years now, his second week, we had a car towed in, an older Suburban with a, you know, just really kind of a ratty truck. Not that that minimizes it, but it just, that's what it was. And it was towed in, and the tow truck driver didn't park it all the way up against the fence. He left it sticking out 2 feet. Well, you know, you get in the habit of backing up. You back up X distance. You kind of know the distance. And if you're in a hurry and you're not thinking, you're not used to your environment, you don't look, you make a mistake. That's why God put erasers on pencils. And he crushed a brand new customer's 2 week, it wasn't 2 weeks old, it was 2 years old, Mazda, whatever it was. I almost don't remember the vehicle. And tore the bumper off. Did $3,000 worth of damage because it took out the ABS control module, the sensors, the whole thing. It was a schmear. He sat on the ground. He was destroyed. I said, just get up. Let's fix the car. We sent it out to the body shop. We put the customer in a rental. Okay, we gave them everything they needed. We still never saw the customer again. You know, no argument. Our fault. Our guy made a mistake. We stand behind it. So, you know, this is a two-part obligation. It's your part to go back. It's his part to do the right thing. It's your part to accept it if you're happy. If you're not, then you got to talk to him. And that's what makes relationships and human beings so interesting, right? So, to this day, I think about that job. It was, but it's not, you know, it's not for me to decide. I did everything I could. Evidently, the customer was inconvenienced by the fact that it came in for an oil change and we made a mistake. It happens. Did this guy make a mistake? Maybe. It kind of depends on how they handle it. You know, maybe there's something not clear cut that he didn't see, that his guy didn't see. Me personally, for the record, I would consider yourself lucky that he accepted your brake parts to do a brake repair on your vehicle. Because in New Jersey, that's a huge liability. That's a huge problem for a New Jersey mechanic.
They're all new in boxes.
Well, it doesn't matter if they're new in boxes, but the liability insurance and the ability to warranty that and whose insurance is responsible. And, you know, at least if I put the brakes on your car from my supplier, my insurance covers it, my liability covers it. God forbid something happened to you, you're in the hospital, your estate can now come and, you know, chase me and chase my insurance company. It's clear cut.
Right.
What created this problem? So, the lack of parts, the installation, the there was a miscommunication somewhere. So just
for the big picture, like for clarity, like I remember when I was 16 changing the pads on my dad's 71 New Yorker, and back in the day you'd spray the back of the pads with the Permatex disc brake quiet spray and all that. But these Grand Cherokee vehicles, super, super popular, and, you know, a lot of them on the road over the years. What is the percentage of cars that would have pads put in the calipers without any kind of, like, retention springs or anti-rattle springs like that.
To my knowledge, everything's got them. They've got to have some kind of an anti-rattle clip. They've got to have some kind of a spring, some kind of a retention, something. You know, some have more than others. So if your question is kind of leading to, could the mechanic have not known that they were supposed to go there? Well, hopefully he took...
How common are they to not be there whatsoever? I thought it would be very uncommon for them not to be there at all.
It is very uncommon, like, because now you're into what's the quality and the level of intelligence of the guy putting the parts on the car. Listen, the guy didn't put the parts on the car. Were they there when he took them off? If they were there when he took them off, and as long as the new parts fit and there wasn't a question of fit and there wasn't a question of do they go there, then the guy made a mistake. You know, it's. I wouldn't make more out of it until you go talk to the owner. The owner only gets one chance. Okay, he can't turn his nose up at it. He's got to be responsive. He's got to be proactive. He's got to do his I'm sorry's. He's got to do his, you know, gee, let's make this right routine. Gee, I value your business. All right, you know, it can't be tough. You know, that just doesn't exist. Besides the fact that it's brakes and it's a huge liability. So go talk to them. Listen, everybody gets a shot, right? That's what auto repair is about to me. It's about the relationship. You gotta be able to talk to people, and people have to be able to talk and approach you. So I say give him the benefit of the doubt. Go talk to him. Hopefully he's responsive, and see what kind of response you get, and then call us back and let us know, because I think everybody here is kind of interested how this story ends. Jeff, we appreciate the call. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, 855-560-9900. Give us a call. We'll be back right after this.
After 6 hours of school, I had enough for the day. I hit the radio dial and turned it up all the way. I got a dentist.
That's got to be my cue to go then. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor, at your service. You know, the problem is, see, Tom puts on the right music, and it brings back memories of Saturday night cruising and, you know, all that American Graffiti style stuff that just gave us... I don't know. It wasn't a bad time, right? It wasn't...
Why don't you just say you're not paying attention?
Well, I wasn't paying attention. I was paying attention. So I was paying attention to not paying attention. So it's... At time, you know, just certain time periods are related to cars. I just... I can't... And it's funny, too, you know. I'm one of those guys that just... Everybody's got those little things that make you wonder about things that go bump in the night. I'll say it like that. You know, I can get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and wander around the house for 5 minutes. And then if I flick on the TV, I always seem to find that one favorite spot and that one favorite movie that I haven't seen in a while. Last night I did it at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up, took a walk around the house. I was thinking about something. And wouldn't you know, I woke up and there's American Graffiti on Showtime. And I got right to the part where the 55 and the 32 were racing down Paradise Road. It was just, I watched the crash. Okay. I watched the plane scene. Two guys died, two guys lived. Good, we're done. I went back to bed. It's just, you know, it just speaks to you. It's nostalgia. It's from 1973. But
well, some songs come up.
Yeah.
And they immediately bring back a whole flood of memories, or, you know, going out, like you said, Saturday night cruising everything else. You know, Beach Boys are one of those groups.
And I think, you know, and I know we're off the topic here, and we're going to get to our call in a minute, but, you know, I think... That the problem, I think one of the things that strikes me at my core, I'm not against electric vehicles and I'm not against hybrid vehicles. All right. I think what irks me is it's the end of an era that defined an entire generation or two, because everybody remembers where they were cruising Main Street, their first hot rod, listening to the Beach Boys, listening to the music of the 70s, the 80s, the early 90s. I think music has kind of faded away after that. It's not conducive to cruising in a car with your elbow sticking out the window. You know, nobody's going cruising in a Tesla. And it's the social event of, you know, you know what it's going to sound like at the ice cream parlor? Hey, you want to go cruise Arnold for the ice cream? Yeah. You know what you're going to hear? As the battery goes around and around and around, you know, and above that, you'll hear somebody go, can I get a small cone with Jimmy's? You know, it's just, I'm rambling. Bob in Pearl River, save me. Give me something to do. How can I help you today, sir?
Hey, Ron.
Yes, sir.
So I want to give myself a present. So I am looking at buying a scan tool for my fleet of family cars. So
okay.
I have the the Toyotas, and I have the Ford Escape, and I'm looking, you know, I have some money put aside for it, and I'm looking for something that I can kind of do preemptive reviews of the car and kind of look at how they're operating, and more of a science experiment. I'm not trying to replace, you know, you as my mechanic,
right,
but just to play, right?
Right.
So I was looking at some of the Autels, like the MX-808 or, you know, some of the launches, and I got to tell you, it's just so many options and so many things. I know, I'm not going to be using a scope to check something. I know that, so I don't have to go that high up on the food chain. But, you know, I'm looking for, you know, the Mode 6, and I'm looking for the fuel trim, and I'm looking for being able to get into the computers and, you know, basically do a preemptive run of all the computer systems. What am I looking for? What features should I be looking for?
I like the MK808. As a matter of fact, I've got an MK808 at home. And, okay, you know, when I'm home and I need to grab something, or, you know, somebody's check engine light pops on and I don't feel like running to the shop, I'll use my MK808. And they've got some newer versions of that. You'll spend $500 to $1,000. Okay.
Yep.
You know, no problem.
That's kind of what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Sweet spot.
You know, I think that's a great choice. You can find them on Amazon. Be careful when you purchase on Amazon that it's from an authorized Autel retailer, because yep, I don't understand it myself, but I'm seeing people on Amazon selling things that, and I'll use Autel because that's what we're talking about, where they're selling an Autel scan tool, but they're not an authorized retailer. Somehow they got their hands on, you know, two dozen of them, and legally, I assume, and they're selling it. But then when you have a warranty issue or a technical support problem, they're not there to provide the support. And that's important, because at some point it'll need to be updated. At some point, you know, you're going to have a question about, you need to be able to have an 800 number you can call and get support. So I would tell you to go to their website. I believe it's autel.com, or if you just Google Autel, it'll come up. There's an 800 number. And I would say, hey, listen, I live in Pearl River, New York. You know, who's your nearest Autel tool supplier? It might be a parts house. It might be them direct. But at least then you've got the option of, when you have a problem, you can, you know, go to the front of the horse and talk and get it resolved. Okay. So,
yeah,
you know, and the 808 is there, and then they can, you know, I'm sure there's videos on YouTube what the 808 does, and, you know, to take you down that path. So that's number one. What was the other brand that you were asking me about?
I was looking at Launch as a kind of a competitor to the Autel. So,
okay. And you can go to Launch's website. I think it's launchtechusa.com, but if you Google Launch, all right, you'll come to their website. You can call them. They're in California, and they're comparable, and their price point is comparable. You know, you can take a look at the Launch. The Launch Throttle's a good tool. I like that. I've got one of those. The other Launch products are there. As far as, and one thing I like that Launch does over the Autel is, in the shop, I use my Launch. It gives me the ability to display using Google Cast. Google Cast? Yeah, Google Cast.
Okay. Yeah.
Where I can hook up a Google Cast device to the back of a TV, and I can, you know, shoot it right out through the Bluetooth capability of the Launch and send it up to the big screen, and it just makes it, you know, it's phenomenal. You can, doing a cooling system repair, you can, you know, go and look at a temp range while you're working on another car. You're working on that car. It's outside. You're displaying it inside the shop where you are to be able to display that on the screen. It works really well. Chromecast. Tom is sending me a note here, but it's Google Chromecast. It's something like that. But that's one nice, real nice feature about the Launch that I wish more scan tools had. So take a look at that, and you know where we are. Let us know what you find out, and happy birthday to you. Buy yourself something good. I'm Ron and Haney in the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Every highway, let me slip away on you. Every highway.
Welcome back. Ron and Haney in the Car Doctor. I guess one of the things to walk away from this hour, or drive away, whichever the case might be, is when we talk about specifics, how exact vehicles are getting. And it's across the board. It's where you least expect it. I had a 2013 GMC Denali, their version of a Chevy Silverado pickup truck with a 6.6 Duramax diesel this week, that had problems with the cooling system, was setting cooling system codes and not operating up to temperature. And we had some issues with it. Couldn't get the GM stuff because evidently there's a shortage of some of the parts and supplies. We picked Motorrad, all right, which we always look at Motorrad anyway because we like Motorrad. Good quality stuff. Found out it's OE for the GM application. Put it in. What a work of art. Gaskets, finish, the way it operated. Just nice stuff. More information at Motorrad.com. Think about it. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Till the next time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.